Give it up for him, amen. We're going to turn the lights down a little bit. First off, let me say this. If you are a young person in this building, I did not want to interrupt your class this morning, but I'm just going to heed the Lord and I'm going to do exactly what he tells me to do. I want every young person in this building to come up here and fill these chairs up. Get in the closest chair you can, if you will. If you'll rise, please, and just come here on these front few chairs. Why that is it's very simple. I never want you to think for a minute that I don't need your help. I never want you to think for just a minute that I am going to be one of those preachers, or I'm going to be one of those leaders, or I'm going to be anybody that you see in this church in a ministerial way that thinks that I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to do it my way and I'm not going to worry about the next generation, because you can forget it. I will not take part in anything that does not look toward the future and your life, how it's going to affect your life. Because in my responsibility and in my accountability, it's as simple as this. I will answer to God the attitude that I leave for you. It is absolutely imperative that you understand that. And at some point in your adult life, and you may even have experienced it now, you are going to come to the realization today that it is not only about you, but it is about what you leave in your life for the next generation. Can someone say amen? Amen. Young people, will you say amen? Am I right in talking to you that way? But God told me this morning, and I would not interrupt your class this morning or wherever you was at in this building, because I did not want to pull teaching away from whoever was teaching and who was bringing you the word this morning. But the Lord has told me, for some reason, ask them to come to the front. And the number one reason of that is this: you are important to me. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. There's a reason we're getting ready to start revival. Nobody might know it. Everybody thinks, well, I'm wanting to be revived and I want to do this. But it's more than that to me. There's part of me that screams for revival, and there's part of me that prays for revival, and there's part of me that wants to see revival, but I will be honest with you, there is a part of me that hates to see and to hear that word revival. Why? Because people will not take accountability. Don't get quiet on me this morning. If you get quiet on me, you know I like to joke around. If you play quiet on me, I'm going to hit it right on the head in a minute. You're playing into my hands if you're quiet to me the most, so you best open that pie hole. But what I want to talk about this morning is simply this: being crippled from our limb. We can't expect revival, as we see in a minute, if we're crippled from our limp. If you would this morning, bear with me, I'm going to do my best. I don't have a lot of time and I already feel I'm rushed. But we've got a funeral to go to today, but I'm going to blow through this real quick. If you will stand with me, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 18. Teddy Ding's been all over this the last 2 weeks. I told Pastor back in the meeting room the other day, I said he needs to get off my stuff. And he didn't. After a few minutes, Teddy, I said this. I looked at him, I said, well, he's not going to get off of it. He's going to camp for a while. And so help me, he went back there again this morning. But 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 21 in the ESV. I like the way the ESV is worded this morning. It says, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, you and your father's house. Because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal. And the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And here we go. Pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And there you go. And the people did not answer him a word. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a little bit this morning. We could go into all these details and stuff. We just do not have time. We're going to talk about a drought being in the land. We're going to talk about how Elijah received a word from the Lord. We could talk about Elijah being by the brook and the things that happened, all that. But I want you to catch one simple thing today, because it's all I have time for. God will send the word, no matter the condition. God will send the word, no matter the condition. He calls all those together, and I think I have to gather from one thing. I was saying the other day, God, I need to narrow all this down, because there's so much information. There's so many different ways you can interpret this. And there's so many things that you could talk about. God, I want to do it, and I want to pull it down, and I want to get it in one of the points I have to get across to you, and I want to do it simply. And I want people to be able to remember it. That's what brings us today. But the first point that I had to make through the text of the verses 17 through 21 was this. The time is now. Y'all's quiet again. Y'all gonna realize in a minute you messed up. Let's go to this. Romans 13:11 says this. In relation to awakening, knowing that time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when we believe. It's time to wake up, church. We can talk about revival till we're blue in the face. We can talk about it. We can work outreach, and we can work and do all these things. We can talk about having an Obadiah moment. We can talk about living that life and somebody seeing us and somebody saying that one right there is truly the Lord's. But on the inside, knowing that we've got something that stands in the way for God using us and being revived in the way that he wants us to be revived. Amen? We can complain about not having a fire all day long, but till we condition ourselves to receive that fire, it is useless. You are just babbling, and it will not happen. 1 Peter 4:17 says this, "For the time has come that judgment..." must begin in the house of the Lord. You know what the moral of that story is? Before fire falls for everybody to see, before the fire can fall, before the prophets of Baal and before the prophets of Asherah, it has to start in the house of the Lord. Amen? Oh boy. It is time for us to realize that these young people need Jesus more than anything in this world. I'm going to get personal for just a minute. I had a funeral to go to last night. It's where I've got to go to today. That's the reason I've got to hurry. That old preacher, love him to death. He said one time that he was pastor one time, and he called for a time of prayer in his church, and everybody gathers up around prayer. He said, but there was one person whose prayers meant more than anything in the world. He said, somehow snuck by me where I was at up on the altar up toward the podium. He said, and I wasn't really paying attention. He said, but that little young lady, he said, somehow got by me somewhere. He said, she found her a corner. She was in. He paid no attention. He said, I never know she was back there. He said, after that time of prayer come, he said, I got up. He said, I started talking. He said, and I caught something out of the corner of my eye. He said, as a little girl still in the corner who still was praying. And I love the answer he gave. He told me, he said, what had really happened. He said, when that little girl come by me, he said, she put her hand on his shoulder. He said, preacher, I wasn't done praying yet. That's the kind of impression I want to leave on somebody. I'm not done praying yet. Young person, is that the kind of attitude you want to leave with somebody, that you're not done praying yet? Is that the kind of attitude that we've got to? Church, I want to leave you with a point number one. Now it's time for us to change our attitudes, isn't it? Let's go to point two. It's all about your personal condition. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord. Are you committed this morning? We want revival, but you got to be committed. You can say you want revival this way. You can say you want to see the fire of God fall, but you can't really expect anything if you're going to say, I follow God, but you're going to keep reaching back behind you and holding on to something else. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Matthew 6:24 says you can't serve two masters. That's hard, ain't it? I can tell by your reactions that's hard. But I'm going to tell you right now, when I got out of bed this morning, the Lord inspired on me. He said, you're going to have to do one of two things. You're going to have an Ezekiel 33 moment and be that watchman on the wall and sound that horn. He said, or you're going to have to take responsibility for them because you did not tell them. I'm telling you here today, I'm going to be committed enough to tell you that the Lord is the Lord and will always be the Lord. And if we want to see the fire of God fall in the form of revival and see our friends saved and see our children saved, I'm telling you, we've got to realize we've got to weigh our conditions this morning. Huh? Matthew 12:30, not me, not with me, means you're against me. There's another scripture said this, and I ain't even got it gathered down. I ain't even got it wrote down. Didn't even put it on the slide. But it says simply this. In relation to missions and going out and having outreach and talking and putting toward the church and you seeing your friends saved and us seeing our family saved and seeing this community touched, Jesus said it this way. You're either going to help me gather or you're scattering. One of the two. It's a simple choice. One of the two. John 4:35 says this, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. A lot of people don't understand that scripture. You can look out and they're white, ready for harvest. Let me put that in West Virginia for term for you. Very dear person to me, I call him Dad. We do a lot of hunting. Most of the times we hunt, it's turkey season of the fall. We was walking through a field a couple of years ago. And the grass was up kind of big. And he just gently raised up and was noticing. And he told me, he said, it's time to bale this hay. Time to cut this stuff. That wasn't good enough for me. I don't want to hear that. Explain to me why. He said, it's real simple. He said, if you look on the top of these, he said, when they start to seed, he said, when these seed pods on the top, he said to you, he said, when they start opening up, he said, the seeds are at that time, they're most fertile. He said, and if you do not cut this hay at this time, he said, over the days, he said, the more useless it becomes. That leads me to my third point. Got my third point. There must be a choice. Elijah calls everyone out. Calls everybody out to Mount Carmel. That being stuck between those two opinions, what's it do? It causes a spiritual limp. And there's only one thing that can get done of that. If you think about somebody who has a limp, what do you gather? There's something wrong with them, Red Terry. I was laying in the bed the other morning, thought I was doing in pretty good shape until my feet hit the floor. And I figured out I was wrong. But what it done for me that day was simply this. When you've got a limp, you've got a spiritual limp. When there's something in your life, if you're stuck between those two opinions, like we talked about just a minute ago, you have developed a limp, and those limps have symptoms. When there's a symptom, there has to be a solution, doesn't there? Young person, I've got to ask you this today. I want to see the fire of God fall on you right now. And I want to see it fall next week. And I want to see it continue to fall. But I want you to know one thing. I've spent an awful lot of time this week weighing whether I've bought into that commitment thing and I'm with God the way I want to be with God and how I should be with God. I've bought into that thing and I've thought and I've weighed all that this week, and that's what I'm asking you to do today is weigh that, whether you truly want to see that and you want to buy that and get off the fence and take that position of two opinions away and just go with that one position and get rid of our spiritual limp. Because that limp brings simply this: you're not worth much good with a limp. You're just not much good. Instability. You're unsure of yourself. It all ends up to this. You'll end up tired and you'll end up fatigued. You have to compensate with something. But here's the biggest thing that I see. And when you weigh your relationship out with God, this is the one question you've got to ask. Do you have a crutch? Do you reach back for that one thing that brings a little comfort to you and it brings a little help to you? That crutch that is not God. Do you reach for that today? Psalm 51:10 says it this way. Doing that is about this. It's not to shame, but it's to restore and renew in Psalms 51:10. It all boils down to this. Let's go to the fourth point. And I warned you not to get quiet, but here you are. Accountability. Just what I was telling you people a while ago. You young people want me to give you a stat? There's a stat and they can prove it. They look at the church world that they've lost over the last 25 years, and they looked at the church world next 25 years, and here's an amazing stat, and the reason I challenge you this morning. It is estimated that 30 million teens in the next 25 years will fall away from the church and never go back. 30 million. I won't be responsible for that. I'm going to hold myself accountable to you and to my God and say, Lord, I won't buy into that. And in me saying that I won't buy into that, I've got to accept that accountability, that I am going to stay with one opinion in my life. Stay with the God that I know is God, Ray. Stay with that God that'll bring the fire down. Stay with those answers that I know. Stay with those people that I'm supposed to stay with. Do what I'm supposed to do. That way I'm not found limping around and I'm useless. But I'm going to be something today that when I stand before God, I'll be able to say to God, I didn't rely on a crutch because I didn't need one. I made the decision today and I stood fast and firm on who you are and who you're going to be in my heart and my life, and I obeyed your commandments. And God, I told them, like Ezekiel, I told them what they were supposed to do, and I'm absolved of every responsibility that I've got. Young person, this morning, you've got to realize that there's a time and it's now. You've got to be accountable. There's a choice to be made. And there's no, we live in a world today where responsibility is a word that nobody wants to talk about. I've got to be responsible for you. You've got to be responsible for me. Iron sharpens iron, Ted. It is my job to sharpen you. But still at the same time, it's you to sharpen me as well. That's how this whole thing works. But what happened? And I warned you. Elijah told them the exact same thing as what I'm telling you. And thank God for an Elijah that won't apologize for how he says something. Elijah just lays it out, and what happened? Nobody answers him a word. My mind went back to when I was a little younger. Boy, did you do that? Stand and look at him. Don't say a word. They ain't nothing says you got me like silence. Y'all's awful quiet. There you go. Do I have you or not? It also says you're right. You're giving me what I need. You're being that Ezekiel, Teddy. You're telling somebody what it's going to take for you to draw closer to God. You want to see that fire fall? There's decisions and there's things you got to do. Everybody wants it for free. Nobody wants to put the skin in the game, and that is not how it works. Amen? Don't be that person that says, absolutely nothing. I'm getting ready to close, and I'm going to get ready to close with this. It's time. There's a decision to be made. You got to evaluate your condition. Weigh yourself. That's the reason the lights are down today. I don't want nobody looking around looking at nobody. I want you to realize that you're the one sitting here and you're all by yourself. The accountability thing upon you is on you today. To number three, make appropriate choices. If you want revival, that's good. This is hard. I don't care if it's hard. I done told you. I got up and read Ezekiel 33 for the 1,500th time this morning. I know I'm right. But church, why? Like what I started off with. For me, it's about you. And for you, it should be about those that are after you. You want to want me to prove my point? Let's go to the slide of the rebuild altar. After Elijah calls everybody out, he starts making fun of them prophets of Baal. Starts making fun of them. What was it that he said? after he watches them and they get so bad and they get and the fire doesn't fall, they start dancing and cutting themselves. What does he note about them? Their worship. And if you read the different translations in part of their worship, they limped when they done it. It was part of the way they worshiped. So there was no change there. Then Elijah starts, he says, bring me some stones. Let's rebuild this altar. A lot of people say he built that altar. He didn't build it, he rebuilt it. It's rebuild time. The stones that they brought, because I'm going to close with this. I'm going to get you to look ahead. And I'm going to prove a point, what I've told you this morning. Go back one slide if you don't care for me. The stones, the 12 tribes of Israel, everybody knows that. Well, what else did it signify? Unity. The wood, what did the wood signify? Orderly laying of something on an altar. What's that? Realize that's worship. They're talking about worship. They brought that up. There's a reason that they brought up wood. The sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the atonement of sin. We talk about the bull and everything. You know, that's what it stood for. The trench. My goodness, we'll talk some more about the trench in just a second. But the water, everybody thinks to douse that offering for God to show who he is. Remember that statement, for God to show who he is. I want to challenge you this morning to think of one thing in just a second. Remember the water and all those attributes, the last and the final. Everybody wants to talk about the fire, which is great. The Holy Spirit of God falling. But I want to challenge you this morning, young person. You're old enough for this. I'm tired of people treating you like you're too small. Remember this. What we see when Elijah rebuilds the altar is not only an altar that God was going to show himself to whoever was there on Mount Carmel that day, but another thing he was doing was he was foreshadowing, giving you an idea of what the New Testament church is going to look like. But here's the one thing I caught, Ray, and I'm closing. Those stones that signify unity, the wood, the worship, the sacrifice, the water, the fire. But that trench, God shook me on. The trench. Everybody says that's to signify separation. It was to separate those things of God and where God would visit. But here's the thing I caught and raised a question. The Bible gives this, that trench was to be so big as to contain 2 units of seed. Ted, why did it mention that? Why did it mention that? There's a million different ways you could have described how deep and wide that trench was and how big and where it's supposed to be. There's all kinds of ways to that. But you have to remember, it was simply a picture of the New Testament church. And God said, although there's supposed to be a size to this trench in Israel, Teddy, I believe, in all of his goodness, he mentioned that for one reason. And that was for us to know that I'm going to mention seeds so that they simply don't forget that it's all about the harvest. You can't think about what a New Testament church is supposed to be unless you think about the harvest. In closing today, they're going to start playing something soft back there. I want you to do this thing, and I'm going to do this totally different today. I'm going to do this. You've got quiet. Woo-wee. Y'all got quiet. You ain't said a word, but I'm getting ready to surprise you right now. I'm getting ready to tell you to do one thing. I want you to weigh yourself and your condition. Keep that personal on the inside. And you can come to this altar if you want to. Praise God for it. But I want you in a quiet place this week to realize that God will come to you where you are. We've got too accustomed. Somebody's got to get up to an altar and come up here and show, and they've got to be seeing this stuff in church. I'm sorry. I love you. There's nothing wrong with that. Praise God for that. But what we're doing is we're telling people you've got to get up and you've got to come to this altar to have a conversation with God, and that's a lie. Young person, you don't have to be here to have a talk with God. That's ridiculous. Heard a preacher say one of them once this week, right? He said, I am absolutely going to start ignoring how many people come to an altar. He said, I'm going to start counting salvations, he said, by this. He said, whoever comes to an altar and gets enough saved and gets enough faith in Jesus that they want to go to the creek, he said, that's the one you can count. Here's what I challenge you today. You don't have to come here. I want you to weigh this week, and I want you to make up in your mind and ask yourself, is it time? Weigh your own condition. Make your choice whether you're going to stay in a limping state or you're going to make a choice and get off that fence and get yourself in a place where you can see the fire of God fall in your life. Why? One more time in closing. Stand with me if you will. We cannot forget this one thing. And that is simply this. We are in the New Testament church. Seeing the fire of God fall is wonderful. Being part of that, knowing who He is. We have to have that, Joe. We have to have that. But you know what challenges me? It's not about what I can feel, what I can do, what I do, but what I'm going to be found responsible for and what I've told you for about today. I'm going to be responsible for you and you and you and you and all of you. And I will not stand in front of a God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for straddling the fence and not being committed to you. I won't be responsible, God, for the heaviness. We have to remember we're a New Testament church and it's about the harvest. It ain't about all me. Church, let's pray today. This altar's open. If you want to come to this altar, that is fine. That is great. If you need prayer, come on. That's fine. That's great. Come on. We'll pray for you. We do not care a bit. But to those that are kind of reserved, you can go home to God too. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. There's you something different. You all thought I was going to preach like this all day long and absolutely stand there and point fingers over you and condemn you? Absolutely not. But I will do you this week. Weigh yourself and talk to God this week. Can I pray over you today? Bow your heads. God, I've done what you've told me to do. God, when I woke up this morning, and I was weighing it all out. God, I didn't want to come here with this. But God, it's the way you told me to do. Now, God, I'm going to sow that seed because this New Testament church thing that I talk about, Lord, it is right now and it is today. And God, we want to see your fire fall. God, it is time for everybody. There's a choice to make. And I've got to choose it. God, because I'm accountable, not only to myself, but to everyone. God, touch and lead today. God, let them take this from this place. God, when they're quiet. God, when your spirit can maybe more talk to them. God, let that spirit be magnified. God, you bring up what's needed in their heart and in their life. God, help us today to never let us forget. Never let us forget. Just like you reminded us, Lord, never.